Hey, podcast kittens, it's Cat the Cat and...
Mighty Bear coming at you with another software updating installment of
Cat with Bear!
I arrived late today. I arrived to the studio late. I was irresponsible on my part. It was unprofessional. And if it happens again, I want you to all start the hashtag cancel Lady Beard.
Oh, I see what you did there.
It was unacceptable. Strike my hand.
No, it's okay. You already have a mandate there.
Strike that hand. Boop. Yeah, thanks. Good job. We have a guest.
We have an awesome guest here today. Guest, please introduce yourself.
Where are they? What? Who? Oh, right. It's me.
Hey!
Hi, everyone. Hello, Internet. Hi, Cat and Beard.
Hey!
Don't laugh at me.
Internet and humans.
Internet and humans. Right. I don't really care about the humans, but whatever. My name's Paida. I am a Kai Guy idol from Yeehaw Land, Space City, Texas.
All right.
Space City, Texas.
Thank you for coming. Space City, is that literally as in like Houston, we have a problem?
It is.
Get out of here,
the
really.
The very one, yeah. Because we got NASA, you know? We got all the rockets.
Do have
and
NASA.
Remember, I went there.
NASA, oh, you
was
did?
Cool, yeah.
I'm glad. Thank you.
Do you also have Area 51? That's New Mexico.
No, that's somewhere else. I think that's like Vegas or something. No.
But surely being, hang on, wow, I'll let you talk to
yourself. Anyways, Paida is here, guys. Paida is here to slay the day. So please tell us who you are and what you do.
All right. I don't know. I just kind of like sit at home and eat chips all the time.
No. We're not talking about that part.
Right. Okay. Hi, everyone. Again, my name's Paida. I'm a Kai Guy idol. I've been doing this for quite a while, but I didn't have like my official debut until 2021.
Explain. What's a Kai Guy idol?
Right. A Kai Guy idol is just basically just like a Japanese pop idol, except... not in Japan. So since I live in Texas, that's where I, you know, am based. I'm a Kai Guy idol. I guess if I came here, I would still consider myself a Kai Guy idol because I'm not Japanese, but I'd still be an idol. Either way, I'm an idol.
Understood. All and right. Paida and I first met in 2016.
We did.
At a convention in Houston. And I got to tell you, I'm so proud of this girl because at that moment, I was the guest of the convention and she interviewed me and she was telling me about all her idol stuff that she wanted to do. And I was like, all right, power to you. Go get you. Then I met you again in Texas 2018.
Yes.
And we sat down and we were like, all right, cool. So here's what I recommend for your idol journey. And now you've blown up and you're kicking asses left and right. So proud of her. So impressive.
Thank you.
Good job, sweetie.
Thank you. It means a lot coming from you.
Bro.
I remember I was sitting down. I had like my little notebook with like my little game plan in it, and I was like, "Oh my gosh!" Like Lady Beer must think I'm so cringe, but
I was so impressed. I was going, "This girl actually has a game plan." You know, most people are like, "I would love to go to Japan and do a thing like you're doing." I'm like, "Okay, cool. So tell me your goals. Tell me why you want to achieve them, and just you know, like just so Paida actually had a thing she was trying to achieve, a reason she was trying to achieve it. She had a plan to achieve it, and I was like, "Well."
Is it okay to share with us a little bit of that plan?
Okay, so it's been a few years, so things didn't exactly go as planned, but...
I don't know if you heard, but there was a pandemic.
There was a bit of a pandemic, and that did play a part, but I think my original plan was obviously to move to Japan, get training locally, join a group, or maybe go solo, but I was really big on join a group back then, and then, like, my biggest goal was to, like, do Budokan, which is still... I'm still, you know, I'm going to do it one day.
That's
I'm going
a good dream. It's like one of those stadiums where all the idols are kind of aiming to go to, right?
It's like Madison Square Gardens in Tokyo.
Basically, yeah. But Madison Square Garden would be amazing too. So
that would be freaking cool as well.
And the moon. Okay. I got to do the moon.
Oh, the moon. No. Well, of course, your hometown.
Of course.
Thank you for remembering.
Please explain this whole moon situation.
Yeah, the whole
galaxy girl, Paida,
also, explain. The dystopian part, I want to hear about that. So let's rewind because we want to find out about that plan. We want to find out about the moon. We want to find out about dystopia. Let's start with like literally baby Paida. Where did everything start?
Okay. So everything started for baby Paida in the computer room at my family's house.
Okay.
It was like, you know, we had one of those big, like, we didn't have laptops back then. Like, you only afford one computer for the whole family. And I was, like, on YouTube watching my favorite anime part 2 out of 5 with English subs at 240p. And the recommended thing that came up was Morning Musume, one of their live concerts. And completely changed my life. I was like, what is this? This is amazing.
And did you say it like that? What is this?
In my head, I was amazed. I was like, what is this? Oh my God. I love, their outfits are so cute. And it was just like a rabbit hole from there. And awesome. Yeah, so I've just been into idols ever since. I got to a point where I was like, clearly I like this so much. I think it's because I want to try and do it myself. And I took a crack at it. Specifically, I would perform it like the hallways and conventions. I would literally
the
like
hallways?
Yeah. You know how like they have the whole anime convention with like the panels and the concerts and everything like that? Mm. Well, like, you know, when you're just starting out and I was only doing covers of like idol music and anime music, I would message the convention heads and be like, hey, can I just like sing in the hallway? And they were like, okay. Ooh. And so I would just sing in the hallway.
Tenacious. Wow. Tenacious.
Yeah.
Good.
That
good.
Hustle. That is good. Amazing.
It was good. Embarrassing, but it was a lot of fun.
No, but that's no. What turns you into an artist.
That sets you already apart from people who just expect everything to be done for them.
Yeah. Good, good, good.
Wow.
Good.
I like the story so far. You started in the hallways of conventions. Mm. The first time must have been very daunting to just like put down some music and dance in a hallway.
Yeah, so did you put down one of those little portable speakers with an iPod or something and say, I'm Pida, time to sing and dance?
Literally that. Right, I think one of the conventions they actually did have like, I think like maybe a foot off the ground, like a little wooden cardboard stage that anyone could go up and take cosplay photos. But I went up there, I had my little boombox, I had a microphone app I installed on my phone, and I was like, hello, empty room where people eat like their $5 nachos. I'm gonna sing for you. And that was it. There's probably a picture of it online somewhere.
Good.
But
respect.
Good.
I was in my Bodyline Seifuku.
Ah, were you?
I was.
Body line today.
And you look fantastic. You look immaculate.
I bless you.
But yeah, that was my very first event. I think I had a couple of people come up to me after that and say like, that was so cool. What are you like? What are you and everything? And I was like, I don't know. I didn't think that far. I just knew I had to like do something.
Good.
And then, you know, I got like my Facebook page started. Facebook. Good. I got like all my social medias up. I started doing dance covers on the internet, more like Anisong covers. And it just came from there. Back then, I was just like, I know I want to do this, but I didn't have a clear goal. So like, as time has gone on, I've realized like, I really, you know, I love our home. The earth is so important, you know, and humans aren't really doing a good job of taking care of it. So I need to, you know, do my part in trying to make that a little bit better.
Is that right? This is an angle I was not aware of. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Is that part of your character? Tell us more about like the branding of your character.
Okay.
Then.
So I call myself a dystopian pop idol because... Not that I want to give the world the dystopian paradise that it deserves, but because it is naturally happening. It is inevitably occurring because of gestures at everything.
Oh my God! You know your dystopia talk. Sorry, I was like, low key, I studied science fiction. So I was like, okay, you need to give me some good reason to call yourself a dystopian idol. Because obviously I studied dystopia.
Oh man.
But someone's dystopia is another person's utopia. And as we are living in a dystopia.
We are living
Thank
in.
Thank you so much for that.
Welcome. None of this is good. Everything is bad happening.
Hands
right
up
now.
If you didn't study science fiction, you don't know what's going on.
It's fine. Just keep living life. It's gonna keep happening. Okay. So
humanity will always strive to create a perfect society. But because we as humans are so flawed, we will never get there. So we can call a world in which everyone wears school uniforms and eat melon bread every day a utopia for some people, but the people who don't like to wear safe school uniforms and eat melon bread will call it a dystopia in a very simple way. But right now, we're not in a utopia. Nothing's perfect. We are already in a dystopia. And that's what makes
perfect.
You a dystopian idol?
Yes, exactly.
Smart.
That was you good?
This.
You good over there?
Nah, I got the first bit, but then suddenly you jumped from one person's utopia is another person's dystopia, but then you just jumped from that to, but at the moment it's everyone's dystopia.
Yeah, because, you know, we have a lot of problems right now in the world, so it's not really someone's utopia.
What if you're Dr. Problem?
Maybe that there person's
Checkmate, I should
utopia.
Have a master's in science fiction.
That one
Back
person. So, that's how you created your character.
Mm.
What also makes you... What is part of your branding? Like, what do you like wearing? Like, what the colors? Like, where do you get your inspiration for your fashion
from? A lot of places. I think I can't really give, like, specific... Well, yeah, I can. I definitely... My first thing would be Uchuke, you know? just like space fashion.
Galaxy.
Yeah, like if I could do green skin and scales with like beady eyes, I would do it in a heartbeat. Like I would go to the doctor and be like, yeah, snip me up.
Wow. But wow, that went from makeup wow, to yeah. snip me up. That was a whole. Yeah.
I think I would put like another eye right here and right here. That would look really cute, right?
That'd be wow. something up the job that, interview.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Wow, okay.
Because all the eyes, I could just like, you know, brainwash the interviewer to be like, give me the job. With
fair enough.
The highest salary possible.
You could just bring a spider with you to the interview because they have a lot of eyes.
They do. And spiders are really cute.
Really?
Yeah.
Are there spiders in outer space?
Space spiders? There's not much out there, and it's probably for the best. So.
Okay. So all right. So coming back to that one thing that me and probably some people listening and watching this are curious about, what was your list, your game plan?
My game plan. Okay. I think it was, at the time, move to Japan. Just straight up, that was the first step.
Step one.
You know? Get good at Japanese.
Because you were in language school in America, weren't you?
Yeah, I was in just normal school, and I did language school in Japan. So I did, was like a combination of language school and like idol work at the time.
Hang on, wait.
Yeah.
So you, what? Wait. So in you America? Came to Japan previously and did language school before yeah. this plan came into being?
No, that hadn't happened yet. So by the time I met you, I was just in normal school.
I see, okay.
But I was studying linguistics and I was studying Japanese. But it was like, you know, a whole curriculum.
Oh,
so
I'm
it wasn't,
sorry.
No, it's okay. So yeah, the first thing was straight up move to Japan permanently. Obviously, I'm in America right now, so yeehaw. That was the first thing. And then after that, it was improve on my Japanese. Do my lessons for idol work, do self-practice. It was a lot of goals for streaming because back then I was on Nico Nico Doga doing like the streaming back then.
It's a Japanese streaming site for those who don't know.
And yeah, join a company. I was really intent on like joining an idol group at the time, either like AVEX or Flying Dog or something and being in an idol group.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Like, because I think especially for Flying Dog, they've done so much that I like am completely obsessed with. Like
For the uninitiated, what
explain
are these
companies? Flying Dog.
Flying Dog is a company that I think they like represent a lot of like Anisong artists. So if you're familiar with Macross or see, because I'm nervous, I'm not thinking of everything, but Carol and Tuesday. Do y'all know Carol and Tuesday?
I love Carol and
That's
Tuesday.
Flying Dog.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So they actually had an audition too.
Oh.
They had an audition for all those parts and I auditioned and I didn't make it.
Oh, no.
But it's so good.
There's
know?
One character that would have been perfect for
right?
you.
Right?
Right?
No. You know what? This is my conspiracy. Out of all of my conspiracy theories I have, my name at the time, it was Paida, but I was really big on the GGP of it, like for Galaxy Girl Paida, just mm-hmm. using the three letters. Mm-hmm. And there is a character on Carol and Tuesday that they use this like a space girl. And her name is just three letters. Mm-hmm. And her whole thing is singing about like the universe and humans and everything. And I'm like, did they see my stuff during my audition tape? And I'm like,
yeah, that's what I just thought, literally.
That happened to me with a Gretzko. Yeah.
Wait. What?
I'm mates with the producer of Agretzko, and then season three like just resembles my career perfectly. So,
oh my gosh!
Which was made after I got to Japan or whatnot.
Wow!
So I think I met him, and he was like
curious.
Yeah. Wait a second. Good story.
Very interesting. Very
so you
interesting.
Had the same thing.
Yeah. So Flying Dog, I'm looking at you. Look at you.
Look at you.
No hard feelings. Just put me in something, please.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
What are those three letters in this chick's name? GGP.
It was G something. It was GG something. It was so similar that I was like, on Instagram, I was like, guys, I know I'm crazy, but like, is this kind of like me? And people were like, it kind of is like you. And I was like, I knew it. Yeah. But what am I going to do? You know, I'm going to watch the show and be like, wow, these are such good songs. That's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
So Flying Dog and AVEX, which is also a huge music publisher, mm-hmm. you were trying to apply for that. So that was at least on your plan.
That was on my plan. And I was applying for them. Like, you know, Flying Dog had the audition for mm-hmm. Carol and Tuesday. AVEX, I don't think they do it anymore, but they had this thing called AVEX Star Search. And it was just an open application process that you just would just send at any time. And if they liked what, you know, you had to offer, they would come back to you. Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever heard back from them either, but I did apply a few times, you know, and I would look at other people's applications because sometimes they would just upload their video to YouTube and everybody was really good. I think,
really?
Yeah, but I really don't think they're doing that anymore, honestly.
Oh, I remember, actually, I think I considered going up for that as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I didn't.
There was a lot of options, like hard to find. But when you found them, there was just like, oh yeah, just even for the idol auditions, they were like online based, and all you had to do was just send in like a picture, your measurements, and like a little 60-second video. So I did a couple.
Oh really? How'd it go?
You're doing the grind.
I did the grind, yeah. But you know, I never heard back. At the end of the day,
it's tough.
I didn't let it discourage me. Obviously,
like, yeah, that's respect. That is so important.
And it's actually more. It's more impressive that you went and did it yourself, actually, than you just got a job and then were whisked away.
Yeah, I think I don't want to get in my head. I don't want to get ahead of myself.
I go on.
But I think with everything that happened while I was in Japan, when I finally got here, was the push to just let me do things on my own, because it made me realize, like, even if I did get what I wanted, what I thought I wanted, I don't think I would have been happy with what the situation would have been like. So it ended up working out in my favor, I think.
There sounds like some mystery we need to clear up here.
No, yes. I totally understand.
So you had the plan, you spoke with the beard.
I spoke with the beard. And then I got the encouragement.
I was very impressed with your plan.
Thank you. Thank you. And I think, yeah, that was really validating experience for me and helped me keep going. So for that whole time in America, I was just like saving up. I did like 2-hour practices every day.
Good. Good.
Yeah. I was actually in really great shape back then compared to I know I'm chunky now, guys, but like you should have seen I was snatched. Okay. I was beautiful, but I'm still cute. So. But yeah, no, I did my practices every day, like 2 hours of dancing and then 2 hours of singing. And it was just like, it was all covers. So, you know, it was like, it's a little different now. Like now that I have my own original stuff, it's like, I have to wait for this to be done. I have to wait for that to be done before I can really like get down with it. But get down with it. But yeah, so I did a lot of practicing every day. And one day I went to a school function for my university and somebody came up to me and they were like, oh, you're Paida, right? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, can I have your phone number? I have a thing for you. And I was like, I don't know how to socialize. I don't go outside. So I was like, okay, I don't know who you are, but I mean, this is a school function. So, okay. I gave them my phone number and I guess I gave them my email address too. And I got like a text message and an email that was like, hi, like this is the Houston, Japan consulate. And we would like to have an interview with you about an opportunity to go to Japan. And yeah. And that whole time I was like, okay,
hold on.
Sure.
That introduction was very misleading. I have a thing for you. That sounded like he has a crush on you.
That could have ended very differently.
No, they were like very, very nice, like non-threatening energy, but it was a stranger. So I was just like, and at that time, like, I wasn't popular or famous by any means, but I was used to be like people locally coming up to me, be like, you're Paida, right? Good. And so I was like, oh, okay. You know me from my things. And it was a school function. So I felt safe giving out information. I was like, you're faculty or something. And I think they were faculty. It was really crazy. But yeah, I got that call email from the consulate.
Wow.
And we scheduled a phone interview. It was so weird. And I was still like, this whole time, I was like, I do not know what this interview's for. You're asking me about like why I like Japan and what I would do there. And like, how I feel about like American and Japan relations and stuff like that. And at the end of the phone call, they were like, well, we would love to fly you to Japan.
Wow.
And I was like,
you hit the jackpot.
No, I was still so surprised. I was like,
but for what though?
So it was this program called the Kakehashi program. Mm-hmm. And I think for like a week or two, we were just like ambassadors for our home countries, either like in educational field or in an entertainment field. And we just went around and like talked to government officials and like did a lot of like cultural like outreach or like soaking up a lot of like traditional stuff and some shopping. And that was like my very first time getting to come to Japan. It was a crazy, wonderful, like enriching experience. And it just cemented for me, like people see the value in me singing my silly little songs and my cute little dresses. So I'm going to keep doing this. And then a year later I moved and I did that thing.
Good.
So
very
2 weeks of awesome. And then Japan.
Yeah. And then Japan for seemingly forever.
Good job.
Spoiler alert.
Good job.
When was the consulate thing? And when was your life in Japan?
The consulate thing was in either 2017 or 2018. And then moving happened mid-2019.
Yeah. Just before the panini.
Yeah. At the beginning of 2019.
And I saw your show in 2019.
You saw my show. Yeah. Okay. So it was before the summer. So it was, like early 2019 is when I moved.
So you already, you went to Japan and you already got some shows?
I already got shows. I had things lined up. And you know what? I get this question a lot from people like in my DMs and stuff. Like, how do you do it? Ask. I know it's the craziest thing, but just like for me, I had a body of work to show for myself. I was performing at home all the time, like at the anime conventions, doing the stuff in the hallways and I didn't get more detail in, but I started in the hallways and then over time I leveled up. You know, people were like, oh, we see her perform. Could you do a panel? Could you do this or this or that? And it was
small,
like,
stage,
yeah.
Side stage, then exactly. Early slot on the big stage.
Yeah, exactly. Opening for people, doing the cultural festivals instead of anime conventions, which are like, you know, not necessarily for like the nerddom and stuff, and moving on from that. So I had like a lot of experience at that time. And I would just go out and be like, this is a cool venue. Find the person on Twitter, find their email address. Hi, my name is Paida. This is Japanese. So like, hi, I'm Paida. I do the singing. I would like to sing at your event. And then I think like maybe I would get 10% of like the emails would reply to me and be like, okay, here's the days you can do it. And I was like, thank you so much.
Also, at the time, was your Japanese really kind of broken and like three words? Was like, I am Paida. I do sing, dance, thing at show. Give to me stage is please now.
I don't think it was like that. I mean,
that's what mine was like when I started.
For
just
real
so
though,
that you know,
for real though, I would do like I would write it in English and then I would write it in Japanese. And I should have just written it in Japanese first because like the translation is always such like a long process. But I would write it in both just to make sure there was no misunderstanding. And I would include like a little video or like my resume or something. And it was a hot mess, but it worked, you know. Wow. So
everyone starts out with a hot mess when they're trying to do their communication.
I'm still a hot mess, let's be real.
You are kicking goals, my friend. You're amazing.
So you levered yourself up slowly in the US and then you started leveling yourself up in Japan. Any tips for leveling yourself up in the US apart from dancing in the hallways, which I already love?
Yeah, for sure. I think when I was starting out, dancing in the hallways was really like, I don't know anybody that was doing it like me, you know? But
yeah, you came up with something new there. I
try.
It.
I think, I'm sure I saw like, you know, street performers. That was a thing, you know? So I was like, why not street perform at the cons? So I tried it. And honestly, for the Kaigai Idol community now, it's a lot easier. Like we've really grown so much in the past couple of years and we have dedicated stages at events at home. We have dedicated like side festivals too. Like there's conventions just for like idols and Kaigai Idols and everything like that. So it's a lot easier. You don't necessarily have to do the hallway lives, but I do think there's something really endearing about it when you do. Like at the end of the day, we're all indie. It's all like guerrilla, you know? So like go for it. But put yourself out there, do something in your living room if you don't have any opportunities yet or if you're afraid to ask and just, you know, get yourself up, just try something. You're not going to be perfect. And then once you have something to show for yourself, just keep, you know, asking, looking for opportunities, putting yourself out there. And as time goes on, you'll find out what you're comfortable doing, what you're not comfortable doing, what you're good at, what you're not so good at. And the opportunities will come, you know, as you're actively finding them. You know, you can't just sit is the thing.
Exactly right. You cannot just sit. Asking is, that is the most important thing to go out and actually. A lot of people think as well. A lot of people I find think, okay, so I'll go to Japan and then I'll arrive at Japan and then it's going to happen.
Yeah. As soon as I step off the plane, everything will be. I'm sure that happens for some people. Yeah. I'm sure, good for those people because I don't know anybody that's been like that for.
Yes, asking is quite essential.
Put yourself out there.
So you worked your way up, and then you come to Japan. You already have contacted events for performances. Mm-hmm. Was that like shared ones, like Chika Idol kind of stages?
Like the Chika Idol Taiban events, where it's just like a bunch of people performing in one night, and there's like a bupan at the end, and.
There is that one Japanese gentleman who comes to every single Kaigai Idol's Chika Live. What's his name?
Okay, there's two. I don't know. I know his Twitter name, but I don't know.
Okay, whoever this gentleman is, because I saw him at your show.
Yeah.
I saw him at someone else's show, and then I saw him at someone else's show, and he's like, Bia-chan. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, I met you at Pida's show. I'm like, oh, yeah, I did. Hi.
He's the really same great. Dude
for all the foreigners.
He's really great.
Thank
yeah.
you. Thank you, random person,
thank you.
For supporting what, the Kaigai Idols.
When I get I'll get his Twitter username and you could like put it there.
Okay,
and I'll,
cool.
Thank you so much. You're really great.
Really?
Yeah. No, he's because it's, you know, really validating, I think, especially coming from America or just coming from outside of Japan. You're like so enamored by the magic that is J-pop music and the idol culture here that you really want to like share in that experience and be a part of it. And a lot of people feel like people who are stupid, but they'll be like, you're not allowed to do that. Or like, do you really think it's okay? Or like, are Japanese people okay with that? And like, every single person is different. Just like everybody in America is not the same or has the same opinions, just like in Japan. People are going to like different things. People are going to not like different things, you know? And so having somebody like him that's like, you know, I like that you guys are Kaigai Idols doing this is really like heartwarming, you know? And those are the people I do it for.
In the second part, we were actually going to go into details. What's the difference between being a Kaigai Idol overseas and in Japan? So I am looking forward to hearing that. I'm just wondering, because we're still in the middle of your way to become who you are. You're currently not in Japan, so there must have been something that you're not in Japan anymore.
Yeah.
Like, currently, right. Like, located. Yeah. Sorry.
And you blew up somewhere.
Yeah,
in
something
this
happened
story.
In
so
the meantime. So let's,
end of
yeah, like, all right. Let's finish so the
where was
the
I?
Story. You are currently in Japan.
I just got to Japan. I'm doing school and idol work. 2019, I'm doing school work. I'm doing idol work and I'm vibing. And it's going pretty well. I'm doing really well with my studies and I'm getting more comfortable with, like, you know, it was my first time out of the country, like, permanently, like, on my own. So it was pretty daunting. But I was doing idol events. I had other Kaigai idols in the area who were, like, taking me to lessons with them. Good. And, like,
nice.
I would talk to, like, the event hosts. They own the building or, like, they're just the ones who's in charge of the event. And they would, you know, give me pointers. And I would get back a lot of, like, we can see so much potential in you. Like, you're clearly, like, this is something you love doing that you're very capable of doing. So please keep going for it. Good. And it was very validating, you know. And then Corona happened.
Yeah.
And it kind of changed everything because right before Corona happened, which was like at the beginning of that year, right before it, so still in 2020, there was this big audition for an idol group to be produced by a previous Morning Musume member, Sayaka Ichi.
Oh.
I applied.
Good.
Because that's what I did. I would apply for everything, you know? And it was different than the other ones I've ever applied for. They were like private applications where, like, I guess they review everything and then they would contact you, you know, and then you would go out and do. And I did do some like that where you go in person privately with a group of people and like talk and they record it. But this was different. This was everyone's face has a little profile picture. It's on the screen on your phone. You download this app and it's like with judges and with like the public voting. And every day they had like a ranking that you had to be in, like the top five or the top 10 by this date. And then if you weren't by it, then you don't go to the next round.
Wow.
And I think it was a combination of like the judges and like people voting for you.
Very competitive, so, like an idol audition, next superstar kind of show.
Kind of, yeah. Like, but it was like live and it was only determined by like, you know, how many hearts you get, how many little points you get. And you only get them if you're like making content within the audition in the app. So it's very much like a very Japanese app. There's no translations for it. You're everything. It was honestly kind of like TikTok, but just for that. And it was very like,
I'm familiar with these types of apps.
Okay. Yeah. So I did that audition. I think the first round you just had to be in the top, whatever, of how many hundred people. I made it past that one.
Good.
Cool. And then the next one, it was like, you had to be in the top, you know, 30 or so. And I made it to that one. And after that, it was like not like top 10 or something. I think at that point it was like, oh my God, it's really been narrowed down to not that many people.
It's the real thing.
And then Corona happened.
And then it just stopped, or
it didn't stop, but I had to go back to America.
Oh.
And the company was the audition company, you know, I talked to them through line. They were very strict at the time. They were like, we don't know anything about this pandemic or whatever it is, but we're not making any exceptions. If you're not in Japan on this day to do the in-person final auditions with everybody else who's doing the final auditions on this stage in Tokyo by this day, no, you can't do it.
Is it okay to ask, you said you had to go back. Was that a visa thing or did your family say, please come back?
Everybody who was like at my school was being asked to go back to their home country.
Oh, really?
So you wouldn't have been able to stay because obviously if your school doesn't endorse you, then you can't.
Then you can't. Yeah. And it was it was actually very shady because like I love all of my teachers and professors and everyone at the school. But like overall, the school was like, we're not asking. It's just kind of happening. But then someone leaked an email that like they got from our schools being sent to our schools back at home. Like, can you ask your kids to come back because we don't want to ask? It was like a very formal, like, we think it's best if they go back to their home countries, so can you just say that you're sending them back? And it was like, okay, well, you're lying. And it's like, well, we still want you to leave. So it is what it is. But you know, at the same time, like, my mom wasn't doing too well at the time. I was a little homesick, so it was really easy for me to be like, I guess I'll go back. But it was also scary because, you know, like that was the height of the pandemic. Mm. I was also like, logically, it doesn't make sense for me to go back and like get my mom more sick or like, you know, be on a plane with a bunch of other people being booted out. It just logically didn't make sense.
Quarantine for 2 weeks.
Yeah. But I did it. I went home and I was like, okay, if I make it to this final round, then I will find a way back. Y'all know. They were not letting people in and out of the country. Mm. They closed the borders. And I made it to that final round, I think while I was back in America, is when I opened my phone. I was like, oh my God, it was such a big deal. It was one of those, I can't remember the name of the stage right now, but it's a stage a lot of idols do. Mm. Like, it was such a dream stage for me. I was like, I have to get back.
Tokyo
so,
Festival,
not maybe one of the Tokyo Idol Festival stages.
So you had to get back.
I had to get back, you know.
So what did you do?
I think I was back in America for maybe a month before I was like, no, I can't miss this deadline. I have to go. I called the consulate every day. I filled out all the paperwork. Like, I think they finally broke down. They were like, okay, if you could fill out this and this and provide these documents and write this essay and do all of this and everything. I bought like the first flight I could see to get back. I had all the paperwork with me. I had all my like documents and everything. And I was like, I'm getting back for this contest. Yeah. I have to make it. Like, it's such a big deal. And I had so many people rooting for me because like, you did not see a non-Japanese person. You did not see a black girl get that far at the time. So it was such a big deal. Like, there was pressure on me from myself, from everyone else. And I just wanted to see how far I could get, you know, at the end of the day, I didn't know, but I just wanted to try. And yeah, I was on that plane. We landed. I was like sitting in the, what is it? Not the customs, immigration for like 2 hours, just sitting there in this room by myself while they like looked at my paperwork. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to get on a flight back home. They're going to turn me right around. And they were like, welcome to Japan. And I was like,
Oh my God. Like, I am so involved in your story right now. I'm like hooked on your words right now. Sorry. Okay.
We need time for that process as well. Some dude in a white suit with a clear eye thing. Welcome to Japan.
Like, so this. You made it in.
I made it in.
For the audition. Right. I made it in. That was so when the borders were closed.
When the borders were closed. They were barely. There was like four people on that plane. I don't know. And like, yeah, one of them was like a family with a baby. And they were like, yeah, we don't know what's happening either. And I was like, well, I hope at least if they can't take all of us, I hope you guys. Because like, you're literally a family and your wife is on the other side. And it was crazy. Aww. But they let me in. I had to quarantine. They put me back then. They were putting people in a hotel for like 48 hours while their COVID result come back. Yeah. And I was on top of my stuff. I had hand sanitizer slathering my whole body. I was like, I am not getting sick. You know, I don't know if we had the vaccines by then or not. I don't remember, but I came back negative in the hotel room. And then after that forced quarantine, you had to do the 2 weeks of quarantine, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I went straight from the airport to the, to my friend's house where I was allowed to quarantine at, and I stayed with her for 2 weeks. I did not leave. That's crazy, you know? Like, I'm not someone who like leaves the house or like goes out and like socializes, but to be forced to do it is a different thing,
it's
you know?
A different gig, yeah.
Especially in like another country. So I was like, okay. And the whole time I was reading comments from people while I was still actively doing the audition, you know, on the phone. Like they had, the way it worked was like for each round, they had different themes. They were like, you, this one, talk about like what you would do if you became one of our idols, or talk about like why you yourself want to be an idol and stuff like that. And it all had to be in Japanese. So like, I was like, you know, writing my script for myself, practicing it, like shooting out the little things, trying to make it funny and interesting. And while I was making those videos, you know, people were interacting with them. People had known that I had like busted my booty to come back to Japan for the final round.
Yep.
And there were comments on there from Japanese people who were like, I don't know, should she even be here? Isn't she gonna give everybody a coronavirus?
That
you know?
Was the time when Japan was very much like, if someone comes in, that they bring COVID. There was a lot of
people. The Olympics and everything, if you remember that protest.
Yeah.
The Olympics.
That, there's a lot of, that was the
I have
there.
A pin, Kore wa pin des era of Japan thing.
Kore wa pin.
Yeah, so there was that thing, you know, where they had the piece of paper and it was like, Kore wa pin des.
Kore wa pin des. I have a pen.
And they were saying, because English is just so like,
so there
rambunctious.
Was like the thought that like other languages
spoke stronger, so you could get sick. It was really, that was the era that I was dealing with, getting these comments from people like, should she even be here? I don't feel comfortable having her around the other idols for the audition and everything like that. And I'm like, I'm the only one that's been in a hotel room for 48 hours who got like tested. Nobody else was getting tested at the time. Japan was doing like a lottery for tests and vaccines.
Because you couldn't get vaccine tests.
So you didn't even know who was positive or negative, unless it was the foreigner who was like under such scrutiny to even get in the country. Like you weren't getting in if you were sick.
But then what happened? Did you get out of all this? Did you get to the audition?
So I did my best. I did the 48 hour quarantine. I did the 2 week quarantine, and it was getting closer and closer to the day of. I was talking to them through the Line app. It was like so much stress because I was still trying to like keep up appearances online, you know, do my best and everything and rehearse everything. So the final round, they had us in like groups. They had each like all the idols in like little sub like fake idol groups, and mine was
how many people were in the final round. I just really want to know how
it was. Like, okay, I know I said like it went from like something like a couple hundred to just 30. Like 30, but I was under exaggerating. It was like thousands and thousands of applicants. And then it got down to like, I guess like the last 100 or so. And then, so in there, in that final round, there was like maybe 10 groups or so of like 5 to 10 girls. My group had 8 girls in it, and we were called Hachimitsu Musume. Oh. And we were going to do Love Machine.
Oh.
Yeah, which is a classic. And so, yeah, I was coordinating with my group about like my position and my lines. We were like practicing. I was like sending them video of me in my friend's apartment, like doing the dance like this, and they were doing that thing. And I was online with like the actual audition company, like, okay, so I did everything you asked me to do. Oh, yeah, remember I said the audition company was really strict. They were like, if you're not in Japan by this day, you can't audition. Because I was like, they're making me leave. If there's any way I could do this virtually, I would really appreciate that. And they were like, you know, no. So then we got kicked out and everything. And Japan was also closing down. Just like nobody knew how bad it was going to be. They started closing down. They had girls who didn't live in Tokyo. They had girls who lived in Osaka, who lived in Okinawa, who lived in Hokkaido and stuff, and who were still wanting to audition. So they got really loose with their requirements. After that, they were like, okay, so we'll let you do it virtually if you choose. And I was like, well, I'm already back in the country, so I don't want to do it virtually.
Fair enough, you went through all of that.
I went through all of that, and I was like, that's my dream stage. Like, I was really in a compromise at the time when I was in America, but I was like, I really busted my butt to get here. Yeah. I need this, you know? But at the very end of it, I was getting a lot of scrutiny from like some really like big supporters of the competition, like on Twitter and stuff like that. And I think they just didn't want to risk making anybody angry. I really don't know.
So, hang on, so what happened?
Wait, so you got the scrutiny for having come in from abroad.
Because
even after 48 and 20 days and even more,
I was simply just the foreigner that was at risk of bringing in COVID.
So what happened? Did you made it to the audition?
I made it into the country, and then like, 24 hours before, they were like, you're going to be doing yours virtually. We are not going to let you come in.
These jackasses.
So I did it from my friend's apartment in her bedroom. You know how tiny like Japanese apartments are. I think I was right here and the camera filming me dance was right here. It was laggy. I think maybe like 20% of the auditionees were virtual and they had like a tape. Not a table, a TV, like with a little tripod stand on it on the stage with my group. It was not the best. And I think, you know, there was a lot of factors that played into it, but spoiler alert, I did not pass that final round. And they had their final girls and they did their group and they went on.
I'm going to tell you, man.
Oh, man. Sorry, like, I can, like, the emotionally.
Well, I was going to say, that was really not the climax I was hoping for. Of that.
I'm sorry. Like
after
sorry.
All of that but hard
if
work.
If I had been on that panel, I would have been sat there saying, I get this is the difference between Japanese thinking and everyone else thinking, isn't it? I mean, I would have been sat there saying, so you're telling me this girl has come overseas in the middle of a pandemic, gone through all these quarantines, gone through all this hell on earth to make it to this audition. I would have said, well, clearly give her the audition. Like, these other girls haven't worked that hard. Put the skill in there.
But. Like, the tenacity was there for sure. I think back to it and I'm like, I cannot believe that I girl bossed my way through like an international tenacity. Border closing.
You
like
moved heaven and earth.
The desperation was there. But at the same time, everyone, at least in my group, I know they were working their butts off. Everybody was hungry for it just as bad as I was. Mm. And probably given the situation, they might have done the same thing, you know?
So hold on. You did not get that. But you're actually not supposed to be in Japan in the first place because you only got in special permission, I assume. So
yeah.
You just had to go
yeah,
again?
So now you're just in Japan
after
now in the middle of a quarantine.
Yeah, so that was my plan. I was like, well, I worked so hard to get into the country. Mm-hmm. Even if I don't make it, I still have my visa. And I was just going to, you know, figure it out. Yeah, you just so kind of stay.
Okay, that makes sense.
I think I did that for like maybe 6 months and... Not even 6 months. To be honest, it was kind of bad. But I was like, you know what? I don't need to be in a group to do what I want to do. Through this process, I've learned more about my stuff. Like, they were asking a lot of questions that we were making videos for. Like, why do you want to be an idol? What's important to you? And stuff like
forces
that.
Forces you to answer
forces me to really
yourself.
Think about it, especially when I was thinking about it in English, translating it to Japanese, speaking it out loud. I was really getting in touch with, like, who I want to be as an idol. Mm-hmm. And I realized that, like, even if I had made it into that group, I would be going by the company standards. I would be going by the group standards, doing the kind of songs they want to do, doing the kind of imagery they want to do, telling the story they want to tell. And I knew that I would have been fine doing that. I would have, quote unquote, made it in a lot of people's eyes, but I wouldn't have been necessarily happy now that I know what I want to do as an idol. So with that in mind, I was like, I can stay here. I have enough money saved up. I could do this. I could figure out things and I could stay in Japan long term, which was my original plan. Mm-hmm. But I could also go home, be closer to my family and do something solo and just kind of do something I've never really thought about, like, you know, like that intricately before.
I reckon that's a good place
that
to wrap this
good
bad boy
point.
Up.
So
we got
now
number two
you're
you
deciding... actually made that decision to leave Japan to become what you are now, a kaigai idol. So this is where the change is between actually joining that group, but now Paida's story really
solo.
Starts
yes.
Yeah, the real
as
thing.
A solo thing, not trying to please any Japanese companies,
yes.
doing your thing as a kaigai idol.
Yes.
That's going to be in part two. So we're excited to find out more about that. But before that, tell us your social so people can find you.
Okay. So first off, my website is www.paida.space. And if you go there, it'll have all my socials on it. But I'm on Instagram at galaxygirlpaida.official because somebody stole my name. And so I had to put the dot official there. I'm on Twitter as Ginga Girl Paida, which is just Galaxy Girl Paida, but Ginga, you know. And I'm on TikTok. I'm on TikTok as Galaxy Girl Paida.
You do very well on TikTok, right. Don't you?
Unfortunately.
We will talk about that more in the next episode
All right.
of Cat with Ears.